12. This evening, I want to show you. It's something we've talked about in our men's group on Wednesdays. It's one of the things that came up. How many of you have heard a definition of grace, maybe something like unmerited favor? Ever heard that? Like grace is unmerited favor. Maybe you've heard that grace is getting something you don't deserve, right? I mean, I've heard that. I've probably even said that. And those definitions come over time. They come from people writing books and things like that and putting these things into print. But what I want to do tonight is I want to show you a more clear definition of this word. And the reason is, in Hebrews, we come to a place here, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. And you read through it, and I think some of the terminology in our Christianity is so ingrained and just almost thoughtless. We just read through verses and just don't even think about the words we're reading, and we need some clarity on some of this stuff. But what we've created, I think, what's been created for us is a very passive sort of a kind of a brand of Christianity that doesn't really do anything, but we're proud to call ourselves Christians. And that's kind of a result of some of these definitions that are in our minds. So I want you to look at a verse, and tonight I want to show you a few cross-references about this word grace, and hopefully redefine, or not necessarily redefine the whole thing, but at least give you a little more clarity about what this word means. Because I too, just like you guys, we raise our hand, I say, yeah, grace is unmerited favor. That's just, we're getting something we don't deserve. Well, in the Bible, that's not grace. That's not what that word means. And I want to show it to you. All right, look in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Since we're in Hebrews, we're at this verse anyway. And it says something about grace that it doesn't allow that definition for grace that we've had before, unmerited favor or getting what you don't deserve or what things like that. So he says this, Hebrews 12, 15. It says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. All right, this is obviously in a context. In the context, the you could take the whole chapter and it's explaining something. But this verse here, fail of the grace of God. If grace is unmerited favor, I mean, if that's the definition, that's the definition that's written by every, unfortunately, Calvinists do most of the writing for Christianity, and that's the definition that has held strong for years now. If grace is unmerited favor or getting what you don't deserve, how does someone fail of the grace? I mean, if it wasn't something you deserved, how did someone not get this grace when they should have got it? Or what's the disconnect here? What I'm saying is that tonight I want to make some clarity, or create some clarity, hopefully, on this word and give us a better understanding of it when we read it in the Bible. And I'm not saying, I want to be careful how I say this stuff, I'm not saying people are saved by works. That's not where this is going. This is going to show what that word grace actually means in the Bible. All right? Again, my definition that I had heard all my life, as long as I could remember, grace is unmerited favor, and it's getting what you don't deserve, and mercy is not getting what you do deserve. You know, it's kind of a cliche thing, and I think our Christianity is built on a bunch of cliches instead of Bible at this point in time. All right, so in this verse, Hebrews 12:15, if someone fails of the grace of God, how is that even possible if it wasn't merited, if it wasn't something that they were getting that they don't deserve? How is it even possible to fail of the grace? Well, that's because grace is not the word that everyone is saying that it is. Let's pray, and I hate to do this to you on a Wednesday night, but this is where we're at, and I want to show you something that I think will help you understand some of these verses a little bit better. But let's pray first. Father, I thank you so much for your words. I thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. So much of, I think, our thoughts of Christianity are, it seems like so much of it is built on cliches and things that have been said and repeated over years and years of time without consulting a Bible on it. And Lord, I pray tonight as we go through this word and just look at some other cross references that you'd help us build an understanding that's better than what we had before, and help us understand our Bibles better, and therefore help us understand you better. And I pray that you do this. I pray that you would feed your flock tonight. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the word grace shows up here. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. All right, how is that possible if grace is the definition that we've all said it was, unmerited favor or something like that? So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to show you a few verses where this word shows up. And I want to show you three things about grace that doesn't fit necessarily the cliche that we've always said about grace. All right. First verse I want you to look at is this. Luke chapter 2, verse 40. If grace is unmerited favor, if grace is getting what you don't deserve, how in the world is this verse even possible? Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. This is Jesus Christ growing up. The Bible describes his early years as this. Luke chapter 2, verse 40. It says, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the what? The grace of God was upon him. All right, now, try to cram the definition of unmerited favor into that verse. Does Jesus Christ not deserve God's favorable look? He always did. I mean, there's never a time in his life he didn't deserve it. So what is it? How does God's grace on Jesus Christ, how does that fit the cliche that we've always used of, like I said, unmerited favor, getting what you don't deserve? Jesus Christ isn't in a position where he doesn't deserve God's favor. He deserves it. He hasn't done anything undeserving of it. Yet this verse says the grace of God is upon Jesus Christ. Okay, well, we say, well, the grace of God is upon sinners, and God looks on sinners a certain way, and he accepts sinners based on Jesus Christ, which is true. However, if God's looking on sinners with grace, and our understanding is he just does that because he's God and he just wants to be nice to sinners, how does that definition of grace cram into God showing grace to Jesus Christ, who never sinned, who never did anything wrong, and never didn't deserve God's favor? All right, so grace may be favor, but it's not necessarily unmerited favor, okay? In this verse, the grace of God is upon Jesus Christ. You could say it was the favor of God is on Jesus Christ, but you couldn't say Jesus Christ was undeserving of it, okay? I know it's we're maybe stripping some gears here or whatever, but I want you to listen, because so much of the stuff we think about Christianity, maybe not so much of it, but there are some points in our Christianity where we're just built on cliches, okay? First thing, God's grace may be favor. That may be a definition of grace as favor. In fact, I'll show you a place where it is favor. Look back in the book of Esther. But you couldn't say in Jesus Christ's life that it was favor that was undeserved. Esther chapter 2 and verse 17. All right, Esther 2:17. Watch the definition here. It says, and the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. So grace and favor, you could say they kind of go hand in hand. What you couldn't say, necessarily, not yet, you couldn't say that grace just happens willy-nilly and it's just God turning a blind eye to sin or God choosing to ignore sin or any of those other thoughts we have about grace. Grace may be favor, and we'll say that's one definition of it. Favorable. Look back in the book of Ruth. Here's another place the word grace shows up. Ruth chapter 2 and verse 10. Remember the verse in Hebrews said someone failed of the grace of God. Well, how is that even possible if it wasn't of their merit to begin with? And hopefully this will make some sense as we go through these verses. All right, Ruth chapter 2 and verse 10. Y'all probably familiar with this. This is Ruth goes and works in a field. It's Boaz's field. Verse 10. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Verse 11. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. Okay, those two verses will stop there. Is there a reason Boaz is showing favorability to Ruth? Yes. What's the reason? She was good to her mother-in-law. And Boaz said, I heard about how you've been treating your mother-in-law and how you've taken care of her, and she's an Israelite like I am, and you're a stranger, yet you're taking care of this Israelite. He said, I've heard of that. Therefore, I've made provision for you in this field. Now watch, keep reading. Verse 12. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. All right, now Boaz is going to make provision for her. Verse 14, Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean among the sheaves and reproach her not, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them and rebuke her not. All right, so first of all, you've got Boaz showing favorability, showing grace to Ruth for a reason. And the reason is she was helping out Naomi, her mother-in-law, and Boaz sees this, and so he makes provision for it. And furthermore, this favorability, this grace that he's shown to her, is going to turn into a supply for her. He's going to make provision for her. All right, and that's going to lead to the next point here. But the first thing you could say before we move on, grace could be God's favor, but to tag the word unmerited on there is not necessarily biblical. Because in these cases we've looked at where grace is shown on Jesus Christ, it's merited. It's not unmerited. In the case where Boaz shows grace to Ruth, it's for a reason. It's not just, I close my eyes to your sinful life and here's all this stuff. It's, here's the reason, here's the connection that I'm going to make a supply in your life for this purpose. All right? So grace could be God's favor. It is God's favor. It is favor. However, tagging that unmerited on the beginning of it isn't necessarily biblical. All right, now we're not going into, okay, you're deserving of salvation or any of that stuff. Just stick with me on this. Please stick with me on this. Grace is God's favor. All right, that's about as much as you could say about it. Second thing, it's God's supply. You watch Boaz, and now he's going to supply Ruth with food, make sure she can gather what she needs. And so grace would also entail God's supply. Look over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Y'all know these verses. These are verses you know. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse 8. Or let's say verse 7 for the context. 2 Corinthians 12, 7. Second thing, okay, first, grace is favor. Grace is going to also be a supply. 2 Corinthians 12, 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure, though through the abundance of the revelations there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. What I've provided you is sufficient to meet the need. It's not an overabundance necessarily. It's not more than is enough. It's sufficient to the need that's at hand. You've got a thorn in the flesh, Paul. You're supposed to have it. You need it to keep you humble. And with that thorn, my grace is sufficient for you. It's a supply of something. All right, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So Paul learns about strength through weakness in all this. All right, so second thing, though, you could say, grace is God's, it's a supply. He provides the tools for the job, so to speak. All right, you're in, I'll show it to you one more time here. Let's see. 2 Corinthians, go back to chapter 9, verse 8. Let's see one more time here. All right, 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. All that has to do with the supply being given. And he said that grace may abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So grace also means a supply of something. It's like having the right tools for the job. It's like, pick a job you're going to do. God provides, he says, he wants you to do this job. Well, then he provides the tools for that job. And he makes sure you have the supply that you need to get the work done that he requires and he wants done. So grace is God's supply. All right? Here's something we've talked about before. The first time the word grace shows up in the Bible, it shows up in Genesis. It talks about Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So Noah found favor. He was favorable among all the people in the world. He wasn't like everyone else. He found favor in God's eyes. Secondly, he was supplied with the instructions on how to build a boat that would survive the wrath of God. So it was a favorable look from God coupled with a supply that he gives to Noah and says, this is how you're going to survive the wrath of God. You build this boat, this is how you'll survive. So it was Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and it wasn't like God was. This is how I think Christians, I think sometimes we think of the word grace is, well, you just got to have grace. And so it means you just kind of close your eyes to sin and you just let stuff go and you just, you know, ignore sin. And it really in the Bible never has anything to do with that. It doesn't mean that thought that we thought it meant. I mean, it's at least maybe you don't struggle with that stuff, but I read through and I'm trying to figure out, I'm trying to read the word by word. What is it saying? What is it actually saying? Not what the cliche says. What is it saying? All right, grace is God's favor. Grace is God's provision. It's a supply. All right, here's a verse that you know. By grace are you saved through faith. Okay? Grace is the supply that God makes for your salvation. But that supply doesn't make any difference to you if you don't have faith to enact that supply. So the provision is always there. The question is, are you going to make use of the provision? So by grace are you saved through faith. Remember, we were in Hebrews 11. The Bible says, by faith, Noah. All right, so Noah could have instructions for an ark, but if Noah doesn't believe the instructions for the ark are good enough for him, then Noah dies in a flood. Make sense? If Noah doesn't like the provision God makes, then Noah and his family just die in a flood. Again, by grace are you saved through faith. Here's the supply God made, and here's how you get a hold of that supply by faith. Here's the supply. This is the grace for us now, these days. The supply is in Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't want God's supply of blessing, then then you find your own way, but you don't get God's blessing in Jesus Christ, and you wind up dying and going to hell because you don't have God's supply of grace. Or, I mean, you don't have God's supply. He makes the provision. He makes it available. And faith is how you get a hold of that provision and make it work. So grace is favor. That's today, that is in Jesus Christ. And if you want God's favor, you get a hold of Jesus Christ. You cannot get to God Almighty without going through the cross. You can't get to God Almighty without going through Jesus Christ. That's the supply God makes. But that supply doesn't mean anything to you if you don't have faith, if you don't trust that that supply is going to work. All right, so God's grace, first of all. There's favor involved. It's favor. Remember, it shows up in Jesus Christ's life as a kid. God's grace is on him. But Jesus Christ is not a sinner. He's not. It's not like God's looking at a sinner and showing grace to him. It's his supply is on his only begotten son. His favor is on his only begotten son. So it's favor, it's supply, and then faith is how you put that supply into action. So, look in Galatians chapter 2. I'll show you one more thing here. Maybe two more. Galatians 2:21. All right, Galatians 2:21. So grace, it may not be earned. It may not be, I don't know how you would put that, but in this verse, just like in Hebrews, someone can hinder the grace, which would make sense if grace is a supply of something that God's trying to supply and someone doesn't want the supply God's made. He says in verse 21, Galatians 2:21, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. All right, those three words there, frustrate, or four or five words, frustrate the grace of God. If grace is just a simple, unmerited favor, close my eyes and let it all go, how in the world can I frustrate that? Well, I can't if that's the definition of grace, but if the definition of grace is God trying to supply something that I don't want him to supply, well, then I'm frustrating the grace of God. I'm making it of no use in my life where God's tried to make it of use in my life. All right, it's not a matter of deserving or undeserving, just like it is in Jesus Christ. It's a matter of whether God's provision is being put to use or not. God makes a provision for people. And whether you want to make use of it or don't, that's up to you. God makes provision. Jesus Christ was a recipient of the grace of God. Jesus Christ is obvious, he's not a sinner. So it's not really a matter of deserving or undeserving. It's just a matter of God making a supply. And whether a person wants to make use of that supply or doesn't. So here's the two sides of this. Grace and the law, all right? You got all those things. Best to roll off. Dr. Law, Dr. Grace, all that stuff, you know. Here's the difference. Grace is God's supply. The law is what I think I supply. And if I don't want God's grace, what I'm going to do is throw my supply up in God's face and say, hey, you should accept me because I'm this, I'm that, I've done this, I've done that. That's my supply. But when God's already made the supply, especially at the cost of his only begotten son, my supply doesn't make any difference at this point. So law on this side is what I'm trying to get God to recognize. But God's already said, no, this is what I recognize over here. what my son Jesus Christ did. This is what I recognize. So law or grace, the law, those are two opposing views. Do I want what God has made provision for? Or am I going to try to make my own provision? Well, I mean, you can do either one, but if you make your own way, you don't know the way. I mean, you don't have anything to provide to God. So grace is favor, it's supply, and grace is put into action through faith. All right, I'll show you one more verse. Because we sometimes come to the idea that grace is, like I said before, you know, people say, well, you got to have grace with people. Yeah, that's, I understand the mentality and the thought process behind that. But we go so far as to think that having grace means I just ignore sin. I just turn a blind eye and I ignore the obvious transgressions and the obvious faults in my own, even my own life. Start there with our own lives. And we just excuse sin over and over and say, well, God's graceful. Well, God's graceful. Well, God's graceful. And we just keep excusing sin. Let me show you a verse. This will be the last one we look at. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. Titus 2:11. Grace is favor, grace is a supply, and grace is put into action through faith. Now watch what grace actually teaches, contrary to what a lot of Christians, I guess, nowadays would teach. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. I mean, it wasn't forced on all men, but it's appeared. Here's the provision for your salvation, Jesus Christ. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Watch this. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Okay, verse 12. Grace, biblical grace, teaches that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Okay, last comment. Haven't you thought at one point that excusing sin and just letting things go that maybe God wouldn't let go, but I'll let go just because God is graceful? You know, hey, you know, God's graceful. You know, just it'll be okay. And you use grace to excuse sin, right? Maybe in your life or other people's lives. Then you read about grace in the Bible in Titus, and it says, actually, grace teaches you to deny sin and to deny the worldly lust and to deny ungodliness and to live soberly and righteously and godly, which is the opposite of what where people have taken grace today and say, well, you know, it's God's grace and we just kind of do how we want to because, you know, God's graceful. But then you come to a verse like this and it says the opposite. It says, well, God's graceful, so now let's live righteously because God's graceful. Now let's live soberly because God's graceful. Now let's live godly because God's graceful. Not let's live sinfully because God's graceful. Not let's live filthily because God's graceful. Let's live right because God's graceful. And so he said, grace, biblical grace, doesn't teach you to live filthy lives. It teaches Christians to live godly lives. But we've taken this definition and said, well, it's just kind of just, you know, do your own thing and God's cool with it. And you know, it's all good and it'll all turn out well in the end, and you know, hey, it's okay. But that's not grace. Grace is the favor of God, not necessarily unmerited favor, it's just the favor of God. Jesus Christ had the grace of God on him. He was deserving of it. So it's the favor of God. It's the supply that God makes, the provision he makes. And then for you and me, grace is put into action, that supply is put into action through faith. By grace, ye are saved through faith. So, all that said, now when you get back to Hebrews, and so it says someone failed of the grace of God. So they fell out of favor with God. They lost the supply line to God. And that makes more sense than just saying they failed of the grace of God. Well, how can you even fail of the grace of God if it's just unmerited favor just thrown out there? You can't. Say, well, it had nothing to do with you, and so that's not the point of it. That doesn't even play into what grace is. So to be clear about all that, right now, God's grace is found in Jesus Christ. And if you want God's grace, you've got to go to Jesus Christ. So we're clear that... I'm not saying you can work for your salvation or any of that stuff. That has nothing to do with this. It has to do with getting a clear definition of this word that gets used over and over and then gets thrown out as a cliche in Christianity and then gets misused by the people who write the books. And then Christians have this idea of this word and then it messes with their theology. And then you come to a verse like Titus that says grace teaches people to live right, and Christians have come to the conclusion that grace teaches people to live how they want to live. So you're not dealing with the same definition of this word. So I hate to be all technical tonight and go through one word and make a definition and show you the definition, but I thought, you know what, this some of this stuff that we is in our minds now, it's just cliches built on cliches, and it's not Bible definitions of these words. So hopefully that helps a little bit. It helped me. It helped me understand some things about where this word is used and why God uses it the way he uses it. And so I hope that's helpful to you guys too. It's helpful to me. So